Times. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. I knew that spring had truly arrived this past weekend when I heard the sound of riders on motorcycles heading up the Delaware River. The Delaware Valley is a popular area for motorcyclists to explore and enjoy. I know this because I've done it on the back of my husband's motorcycle. So today on Radio Times, great tips on where to go, how to be safe on your motorcycle, and the appeal of motorcycling, including being in a club. And we have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Eric Sowers is vice president of the local Death Grip chapter of the International Iron Order Motorcycle Club, whose mission includes putting, quote, my brothers before me. When he's not on his bike, he's a web designer at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Eric Sowers, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Also with us is Lisa Hall. She's a motorcycle enthusiast and co-founder of Tri-State Touring Riders. She and her husband, Bill, have created their own club after riding with other clubs for about 20 years. And when she is off the road, she is an analyst for the post office. And she just told me she has put 275,000 miles on the various motorcycles that she's owned over the years. And Lisa Hall, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. We want to hear from you. So what was your first bike, Lisa?
My first bike was a Honda VLX 650.
And how old were you when you got it?
I was 20 years ago, so that's 28. My husband and I, we had no real hobbies. I mean, we sat around the lot, and we thought, we need something to do. So we looked at each other, let's start riding.
Really?
And first thing we did is sign up for a motorcycle safety course, and we've been riding ever since.
And did you start on the back before you got your bike? Sorry about that. No,
that's okay. No. I tell people I like to be in control of my own destiny. So
you were always...
Always on the front. Now, occasionally I will get on the back, but I make a bad passenger.
Oh, why is that?
I'm always looking over his shoulder, pointing, look out for that guy. What's this guy?
So he's very happy to have you on your
own
bike.
On my own bike, yes.
On your own bike.
Right.
How about for you, Eric?
It was a little Mattel wind-up toy. And
really?
I was probably three when I got that. And I've been in love with motorcycles ever since I could walk and talk and point at them and be obsessed with them. So by the time I was 21, I graduated college, and I got a 1200 Sportster. And I still have it. I call her Brandy. And
why do you call her Brandy?
She's got the orange color. She kind of looks like a glass of brandy. And, she's cute to me. She's my girl.
And how many motorcycles have you had in your life?
I have that one. I have another one, a Yamaha Stratoliner. And they sit side by side in there along with my wife's bike.
And what do you like about motorcycling besides everything?
The freedom. The freedom, for me, the brotherhood, just the combination of the kind of people you meet here in America going across the country, and just the experience of being out there. And growing up in the country, I get to taste and smell and experience everything in the world, and being on a motorcycle gives you all that.
How about for you, Lisa?
The adventure, the skill. You have to have a skill to ride a motorcycle. And the best part is in the spring, where the trees
like
are just,
now?
Like right now, where the trees are blooming, and when the lilacs bloom, and you just smell that lovely smell in the air, there's really nothing better. I compare it to if you drive in a car, you're watching a movie, and you're riding a motorcycle, you are the movie.
Wow. Yeah. You're the star of the
you're
movie.
You're the star.
Yeah.
And where are some of the, if you've got 275,000 miles under your belt, where have you gone in your travels?
We've gone cross country. We've gone to Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, which is a beautiful place to go. From here out to Nevada. I didn't quite make it all the way across country. There's a story.
Oh, is there? Okay. What's the story?
Oh, I totaled my Goldwing out in Nevada.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you do that? And a Goldwing's a big bike.
A Goldwing's the largest touring bike you can have. There was a thunderstorm. We were on Route 50, which is the loneliest road in America, which is true.
Meaning nobody there.
There's nobody. You can stop and stand in the middle of the road, and you can see for miles one way, miles the other way, and nobody's coming. So there's a lightning thunderstorm on one side, thunderstorm on the other side, but we were going straight through. Well, all of a sudden, the two thunderstorms kind of collided, and it poured down rain, the heaviest downpour I'd ever experienced. All of a sudden, my bike lost traction. They slid out from under me.
Wow.
The bike took the brunt of the impact, It gently placed me on the ground. That's what I say. At 60 miles an hour, it gently placed me on the ground, and me and the bike went hydroplaning.
And how hurt were you?
I was not hurt at all. Didn't have one scratch on me.
Wow.
All the gear, helmet, gloves, jacket.
So thank you, bike,
thank
right?
Thank you.
How about for you? Have you had
Have I had an accident? Sure. I was coming down through the Mahanoy Valley, and I had been having a real good time partying the night before, and had got up the next day, and I was having a little bit more fun with my buddies up there, and I said, man, I got to get home before dark, or the wife's going to kill me. So I hopped on my bike, and I was moving probably 80, 85 miles an hour, and I hit a bump because they were doing construction up there, and I have ape hangers on my Sportster.
Which and is meaning high.
The tall
the
ones,
high,
yeah.
The tall,
and these ones were, they call them Z-bars. They're welded straight pieces. Right. And one of the welds snapped, and so the handlebar fell. And when it fell, it bounced off the tire and smacked me in the mouth. So not only was it, like, terrifying, it was shocking that I just got smacked in the mouth. And
so basically had one hanger.
One hanger to hold on to, which makes it really unstable. And so I started riding that out, and luckily enough, it was bizarre. It just bounced back and, like, kind of fell into my hand. And I was able to take it out of gear, but it couldn't shift because it loses the pressure in the cables. So I just started downshifting without the clutch, and it would wiggle all over. And up there, the turnpike's real curvy. And I kind of eased into some gravel and kind of, like, skeeted into the grass. And when it was all over, I was just like, that should have never went that way. But once I get over into the gravel, I kind of went over a little bit.
You are a lucky guy.
Yeah, that was my scariest incident. I mean, I've, you know, like, fell over in the grass and things like that. Silly stuff that you don't want to tell anybody.
Sure.
But
well, you just did. Just so you know.
A few people.
Lisa, tell us about the Tri-State Touring Riders. I mean, this is something you and your husband Bill started.
Right. We belong to several clubs, and we just didn't like all the rules, all the regulations. So we took what we did like from those clubs and decided to make our own group. We're not a club. We're just pretty much a bunch of people like-minded, ride safe, that we just put rides out and people follow us. They love to follow us.
And what were the rules you didn't like?
Well, you had a requirement to go visit other chapters of your same club, to attend different functions. I don't want people to tell me what to do. I want to, you know.
I get it.
I want to ride. All I want to do is ride.
Right.
I don't want to meet.
You're part of this group that's called Death Grip Chapter of the International Iron Motorcycle Club. And I should say to our listeners, you're kind of dressed the part here.
Yeah.
I see on your vest, Sir Isaac, Vice President.
Yeah. And some of our other stuff. Basically, yeah, we're a motorcycle club. We kind of adhere to the traditions of motorcycle clubs from the 50s. I think kind of the original playbook for that. And, you know, we do charity rides. We spend time together. We take care of each other. It's a brotherhood. And, you know, it's actually a family. It's more than just a brotherhood at this point. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not involved with them. And, yeah, we have chapters. We visit them and you know, we're there for each other.
Yeah.
And I've been involved in other organizations. I'm a Freemason. I guess you're not supposed to say that.
That's just the second thing you said on the air that you're not supposed to say.
But it's truly what it was advertised to be. I mean, it wasn't really advertised, but when I met them,
my brothers before me.
Yeah, my brothers before me, and putting your brother first.
Are there no sisters in this club?
There are no sisters. We have Iron Maidens. They're supporters of us, and they come out, and they're their wives and girlfriends and things like that.
Can you say what you're thinking, Lisa?
Well, it's nice that there's a nice club for you to be in. That's sure. Okay. But I don't like clubs that discriminate against anything. What bike you have, what male or female. Let's just ride. Let's just enjoy the country. Let's just get together and have a good time.
Why is it called Death Grip?
That was every chapter has a handle. And so we went through a bunch of different things. And that was kind of where we landed on it. It really happened over a cup of coffee and an early morning for me. I just got up and had a cup of coffee, and we were kicking around ideas, and I started playing with some graphics and drawing things. And all of a sudden I came up with the Death Grip logo, which you can see on our website. And that was it. It was kind of we had talked about different names, and that then when someone kicked that name out, it just stuck with me, and I couldn't put it together visually. You can buy a T-shirt if you want.
But Death Grip, I mean, it has a kind of macho-y, outlaw-y
thing.
When
you're holding on to those handlebars, I mean, especially the time I was coming down the turnpike and lost one of them, you know, you're really gripping on there. We ride hard, we ride side by side. And we put that to its chops, so we enjoy that. And that exemplifies what we do.
But what's so interesting, I mean, you're in a club, you're part of a group of people that just enjoys motorcycling, but the camaraderie, I mean, it's a very social thing.
It is.
To be riding a motorcycle.
And it's unlike anything that I've ever been a part of. It's just being with the people who enjoy the same hobby. And my favorite part is where we get to a place to eat, and we're all just sitting around and just making fun of each other and just laughing and enjoying life.
Yeah, there's
for you.
There's a lot of...
Be careful what you say.
Yeah.
Enjoying.
You know what
enjoyment.
I'm thinking.
I know what you were thinking,
There's a lot of teasing and poking that goes on. It's just part of the game. It's part of what we do. Right. And... So, yeah, and it's fun, especially, you know, a family, I grew up in a family with a lot of brothers. That's what brothers do.
Yeah, it is.
They're just always picking out the thing that stings a little, making light of it. It actually makes it not so bad after.
Yeah. Are there favorite places that you like to go, Lisa, that's, say, within 100 miles of Philadelphia?
Lancaster County. Shady Maple.
Shady Maple.
Where's that? Now, what's so good about that?
Well, Shady Maple is the greatest smorgasbord that I've ever been to. It's a fantastic place. It's all Amish cooking. It's very delicious. And that's in East Earl, Pennsylvania, out in Lancaster County. And the roads in Lancaster County are phenomenal. 897. Everybody got to try that one.
Oh, I'm writing that down.
897, yes. I can give you the whole route right now.
And how about for you? A good place that you'd like to ride?
Man, we were just in Kutztown. We went up there check out. Little sandwich shop up there. Spuds, I think that was the name of it.
Oh, food always seems to be the destination.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, we ride and there's got to be a reason to stop, so food is a good one. Beer. You know, we ride in up near Skipback. We hit a place up called The Still once in a while. New Hope, there's tons of stuff in New Hope. Out in Jersey, we've been out in Central Jersey, Southern Jersey.
The northwestern part of New Jersey is beautiful.
Yeah,
some phenomenal roads up there. 519, 521, very curvy.
I'm writing all these numbers down. Well, tell you what, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation, talking with Lisa Hall, co-founder of Tri-State Touring Riders, and she and her husband created the club recently when she's not on her motorcycle. She's an analyst for the post office. Also with us is Eric Sowers, vice president of the local Death Grip chapter of the International Iron Order Motorcycle Club. And when he's not on his bike, he's a web designer at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. We want to hear from the other riders in our audience. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. And do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, the American Philosophical Society Museum, presenting Jefferson, Philadelphia, and the Founding of a Nation, opening April 17th. This exhibition explores Philadelphia through the lens of Jefferson as he wrote the Declaration of Independence and celebrates his long association with the city, featuring his handwritten draft of the Declaration with edits and annotations. Letters by Jefferson, Franklin, and others reference events leading to the writing of the Constitution. More at apsmuseum.org.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, Roseanne Sadoya survived the marathon bombing but then had to endure a year of surgeries.
You know, I have friends that laugh and say, after all I've been through, I shouldn't worry so much about it, but the whole situation is a little unnerving.
We'll see how a survivor moves on next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
The Friends Schools of Bucks County are committed to challenging minds and nurturing spirits to prepare students for life. Providing independent education from preschool through 12th grade, the Friends Schools of Bucks County include United Friends, Newtown Friends, Buckingham Friends, and the George School. Guided by Quaker values, these schools provide a core curriculum while fostering exploration, self-discipline, creativity, and a desire to learn. United Friends, Newtown Friends, Buckingham Friends, and the George School support WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane talking with Lisa Hall and Eric Sowers about riding motorcycles. We'll get back to our conversation, but first, this is Arlo Guthrie's The Motorcycle Song.
I don't want a pickle. Just want to ride my motorcycle. And I don't want a tickle. I'd rather ride my motorcycle. And I don't want to die. I just want to ride my motorcycle.
A little bit of Arlo Guthrie, The Motorcycle Song. You can join our conversation. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Eric, obviously the listeners can't see you. Are there times, though, when you and your gang, your group, come into a... Sorry about that.
That's all right.
You and your chapter come into a place and people think, you know, a bunch of Hell's Angels just pulled up?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what folks think, but there are certain establishments that have policies where you can't wear your club colors. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's, you know, mm-hmm. they've had a bad experience or something. It's a shame because there's, you know, everybody out there, colors, no colors, clubs, they're good people. They're all good people, so...
Well, and I think, Lisa, I mean, there is a sort of lingering stereotype about, you know, people on motorcycles that they're a certain kind of person.
Sure.
Probably isn't true.
Oh.
Looking at the two of
Looking
you.
Looking at the two of us, yeah, we're exactly. very vastly different. Now, I'm this tiny little thing that, you know, rides pretty large motorcycles. And I've, over the years, I've gotten comments from men that say, that bike's too big for you.
Oh, and what kind of bike are you on these days?
I have a 2013 Harley Davidson Road Glide, and I love it. That's my first Harley.
It's an awesome bike.
Yeah, it is.
Another big bike.
Another big bike. And when people say that to me, I usually, you know, have to refrain from killing them.
Just because it's
just because I'm a woman. You know, I think I think a lot of people look at women saying, you know, you shouldn't be riding. You know, you should be on the back. I think that maybe that's the way it used to be. And I'm trying my best to change that now. Trying to empower women to get on there, get their own motorcycle.
Well, I see more women on yes. you know, riding their own bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And I'm out there trying to coach them all the way, saying, you know, you could do this. This is not that difficult.
And how many people in your group?
It's about 29 right. to 30 here.
And are they all people that said, yeah, I don't want to be part of a club, but I want to be part of a group of people that likes to ride?
Yes, the group of people that say, let's just ride. Pick a destination and ride. And my husband's always the leader. He's doing it. Oh. My husband, Bill.
You let him do that?
He's the best leader, yes. I tell him where to go. I'm the navigator. He's the leader.
Eric, your group actually has a thing that you're doing the end of this month, the end of April, right. involving gnomes.
Yeah.
Can you describe that?
So,
and then we'll get to some of our colleagues.
We're
going to
be doing the Nomad Challenge, and what we're going to be doing
you better
is...
better spell that for her.
G-N-O-M-A-D.
There you go.
And you can see that on deathgripiomc.com. We have a page on there. And basically what we're doing is we're going to be taking three gnomes, passing them yard gnomes, just like the Travelocity guy. And we're going to be passing them from chapter to chapter throughout our nation to basically, one, spend some time with brothers. Get a reason to go visit a guy you haven't seen in a while. We're all good friends. We're all close. This just gives us an added reason to get out and ride, and we're going to be passing them from here in Philadelphia to our chapter in San Francisco.
Wow.
And
kind of a relay across the country?
Yeah, then? And some really neat kind of things have occurred. One of our members from Afghanistan contacted me and said, hey, would it be cool if you sent that over? And I said, sure, man, we can make that happen. So those gentlemen's going to be sent over there to spend some time with those guys over there, because we have brothers over there serving, and they, you know, we try to be just as much there with them as we can.
Yeah.
and really, you know, get them what they need.
So you're going to start it off, and how far are you going on the first leg?
So I'll probably head maybe south, get them down into Delaware, maybe Maryland, and I know one's heading north, so they'll be they'll be getting some adventure in, and it'll be fun. I think the guys are great, and they're going to make a really good time out of this for them. You can upload pictures. You guys can follow along. We're selling support T-shirts and coins, which profits will be going to Cradles to Crayons, which is our charity. They're out of Conshohocken. They put together great things for kids, and this will be kind of helping us give more to them.
At least what's so interesting, and a lot of these motorcycle clubs, and maybe even your group as well, mm-hmm. a lot of their time is spent raising money for different charities, doing events to in support of certain organizations.
Yes, that's something we don't do, though. We have our own charities aside from motorcycling. What we do is we just concentrate on riding.
Right.
Riding safely.
And riding safely.
Yes.
And I should say your motto is ride, eat, sleep, repeat.
You got that right. This weekend, I think we've done 500 miles since April. Bill and I have ridden 1,000 miles this month.
Wow.
And we're not done.
Well, let me ask you about the winter, because do you ride? I mean, we had a terrible, long, cold, and icy winter. Did you keep your bikes in the garage or parked, or were you out on the road?
Well, we went out. Well, actually, this year I had rotator cuff surgery, so I was out. But that's okay. I rode on the back. I think there was only three times we were able to ride this year. Usually we'll ride during the winter. We have heated gear. And if it's above 35, I'll go out there. If there's snow in a road, I'm not going out there.
How about for you, Eric?
Yeah, I'll throw a little shot of whiskey down, keep me warm, and I'll head out. I mean, it's my brothers expect me to show up on a bike. So unless it's a blizzard, right? Then I'll show up on a snowmobile or something. I'll be out there. It's, you know, sometimes it is an endurance, but you got to go. And I've gotten every month this year, and maybe a couple weeks when it was real bad.
But pretty much out year round.
As soon as I could, yeah.
Let me just toss, and we have a lot of callers that want to join us, but just the safety issue. As mm-hmm. you said, eat, sleep. Ride, eat, sleep, repeat. But the idea of being safe on the road, and as we know, I mean, there's so many distracted drivers these days.
God, yes.
I mean, it's actually frightening on the road these days.
And that's the people you have to watch out for. You don't have to, you know, I'm very confident in my skills. It's the crazy people out there. So I have to ride as if I'm invisible, as if they don't see me, because some of the times they don't. You know, think about most are people blowing through stop signs. As I'm approaching the intersection, I'm looking out both ways, you know, to make sure no one's coming. Mm-hmm. Always wear proper gear.
Always wear a helmet.
Always wear a helmet. I always promote safety gear.
How about for you, Eric? Are you a helmet wearer? That's all right.
Depends on the day. Most of the time, if my wife caught me without it, I would be a...
You'd be in big trouble?
Yeah, I'd be in trouble.
In New Jersey, you ride it with a helmet.
And in New Jersey, I ride it with a helmet, yeah. Now, you know, I wear the helmet most of the time. Occasionally, I get a nice warm day. No, I ain't lying to you. I have it. It's beautiful and small and little, and it looks the part.
It looks the part, but probably doesn't do the job.
There's a dot sticker
right.
on the back.
But I'll tell you what, I have extra loud pipes, and that lets people know. We ride very tight formation, and... you know, I'm known to light up my pipes. You can see. I learned this naturally way before I got involved in as much as I am in the motorcycle club now. But just riding, you'll see people come to a light. They'll look. They see right through you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're just not there.
Yes, yes.
And I started noticing that. I have these real sweet little pipes on my Sportster. And you just give it a few cracks on that. And you can see they light right up because they're like, whoa. They didn't see you. And so, you know, we're not doing that to wake up the little old ladies.
Because loud pipes is an issue.
Pipes, sure it is.
Yeah, where do you stand on that issue?
I'm against loud pipes. So I think they take away from the image of motorcyclists. I always want to present a positive image. And most motorcycle crashes are frontal crashes happening, if you're looking at a clock, happening at 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And your pipes are projecting the sound behind you. So the... I really don't think they help that much, and especially if you,
yeah. Go ahead.
Especially in a lot of motorcycle crashes or single motorcycle crashes. So your loud pipes aren't really going to save you.
Meaning that someone went off the road or went into a tree or something like that. Yeah. Anything you want to say to that? And we'll get to our callers.
I'm still here.
So you're still here. Okay. Eric Sowers, vice president of the local Death Grip chapter of the International Iron Order Motorcycle Club. Also with us, Lisa Hall, and she and her husband co-founded Tri-State Touring Riders. Both of them ride motorcycles very differently, as you can hear, which is great. And we want to hear from you. Again, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cowain. Oh, an email from Patricia. Why do motorcycles have to be so loud? And this is, and I don't know that she's a little old lady that might be complaining, but so, I mean, you have to admit, some motorcycles are unbelievably loud.
Sure.
And maybe too loud? I'll is it ever what, too loud for you?
It's perfectly loud enough to make you put your cell phone down and drive. So that's the bottom line. Put your cell phone down and drive. And if you all did that, I'd maybe put some baffles in my pipes.
So you still see it as a way of saying, I'm coming through.
Yeah, I'm coming through. I'm here.
I'm not invisible.
Sure.
And don't run me over.
And the loudest thing on my bike is my radio.
Oh.
I got to have the music up turned up loud.
Hey, same here. I hear you. Except for mine has to be like at the 10,000th decibel.
I can only hear. With headphones, all right?
No, through the speakers.
Oh, through the speakers. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me get Dave from Leeds Point, New Jersey to join us. Dave, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'm certainly a member of the 200,000-mile club over the years. I'm 55. I've been riding pretty much since my first mini bike at 9 or 10 years old. But a couple things I'd say is I'm also a proponent of the AT-GAT, all the gear, all the time. Maybe a little later in life when kids came around, I became a little bit more worried about perhaps, not coming home one day. But another thing I'd say is, like, I know I rode with Rolling Thunder for a while, and they used to do that riding side-by-side thing before they went to staggered formation. And to me, riding side-by-side is really just foolish. I mean, you're not proving anything. It's got to be extremely dangerous. It just doesn't make any sense, really.
Well, Dave, let me get a response from our listeners. What do you think about that, Lisa? You ride with a group?
We ride with a group. We ride staggered.
You do?
Because you always have to find an escape route. And if you have a motorcycle right next to you, you have nowhere to go. So if there's an object in the road, where are you going to go to avoid it? So we have that staggered formation, 1 second from the leader to the bike to his right or left. And I think that's the safest way
for safety reasons.
For safety reasons,
right?
Sure.
Does it
have?
Do you have a formation, Eric, in your group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ride side by side.
You do,
and my brothers and I, we go out and we put on hundreds and hundreds of miles, thousands of miles, and it has worked for us. We look like a jets flying down the road. That's all I can compare.
It may look awesome.
We've perfected it. Yeah. We spend a lot of time in it, and one of the requirements for us is your riding has to be exceptional. So yeah, you might be giving up a little extra space, but
And how close are you?
We're side by side.
It depends on the road.
Depends on how big your bike is, I guess. Really, I mean, if you had two Electroglides side by side, yeah, maybe 5 inches.
Wow.
Depends.
That's close.
Yeah.
That's close.
Yeah, that's really close. Dave, thanks for the call. Let me get Richie from Wayne to join us. Hi, Richie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
I had a question for the gentleman. I also am in a motorcycle club in the Philadelphia area. We have chapters in Philadelphia and Delaware County. And I was just wondering if he has problems in his area with being profiled by the police, because we have a hell of a problem with that.
I've spent a fair amount of time based on my need for speed, speaking with folks, officers and law enforcement.
Meaning they pulled you over?
Sure. And they ask questions, and it doesn't always help that you're wearing patches reminiscent of other, groups or whatever. But my policy is, I treat them with respect, and most of the time, they just give me a little slap on the wrist and let me know, just don't do it again. But sure, I was in Virginia and was spent a fair amount of time speaking with folks about what I was doing down there.
Right, meaning folks, meaning police.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Just
guys with
decoding
funny,
some
guys
of the
with fancy hats and badges.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I mean, this is a sort of reputation thing.
Well, police usually don't pull over little girls wearing pink jackets.
Would that be you?
That would be me.
They should.
Only one time early on in our motorcycling career, we were pulled over. We were riding with a group called the Centurions, and which is a law enforcement group. And it was back when a police officer was shot in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
So I think they were pulling over every club. So we had, there was about 20 of us, and they had police cars from all over intersecting on us. And then when they realized which club it was, they stopped and realized their mistake.
Well, there's that 1% thing, right?
Sure.
Which is the sort of outlaw gangs,
right.
I guess. Just are groups that just say, you know, we're not the 99, we're the 1%. Do you want to say something, Eric? No, you can.
It's all on the internet. That started back in the 50s, and they'll tell you, you know, you can check that all out and kind of understand how that works. From
yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, there is the sort of outlaw group, and then there are the people that may sort of look like the outlaw group, but they're not. I mean,
sure.
You know, I don't think you're an outlaw, Eric.
I
just met you, but
yeah. You know, there's all different groups out there. I am in a wonderful brotherhood, and I look at the other brotherhoods with a lot of respect because they're out there doing the same thing I'm doing with some in one same one way, shape, or form. They're out there doing what I'm doing, so you know, I respect them all. And,
I hear you. Do you work on your bike, Lisa?
I do. I will change the oil. I install GPSs on both my and my husband's bike. If I can learn how to do it, I'll do it. You know, the major stuff, we take it to the dealership, but I can do all the other stuff.
And do you have trips planned? I mean, it sounds like, are you out pretty much every weekend?
Yes, every weekend. And we have
rain or shine?
Mostly shine.
Mostly shine.
Mostly shine. If it happens to rain while we're out there, you know, what are you going to do? But if it's raining, you know, and we had planned a ride now, we're just canceling for that day.
And do you have a big trip planned or something? You know, we'd like to go to...
Yes, we have a trip planned to North Carolina, which is my favorite place to ride in
all
in this country, down the Blue Ridge Parkway. If you've never been on the Blue Ridge Parkway, you have to go on that. It's 469 miles of beautiful scenery, no stop signs, no commercial traffic. Just
old. It's an old road.
It's an old road, yes,
yeah,
but it's in perfect shape. It's a motorcycle heaven.
Do you have a place like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to head back to Sturgis sometime within the next 2 years.
For their big rally?
For the big rally, yeah. Man, I hit so many things. You know, just like she said, in some groups you have to get out and see your brothers, and so I'm going to be all over this summer. And
but you got those gnomes you got to
I got those gnomes. I really want to get to Georgia. I've wanted to spend some time down there, and we have a good close friend down there, so I'm going to... get down there and ride with him and check that area out.
Check out Helen, Georgia. It's a really neat town.
Cool.
It's like a Swiss community. It's
cool.
All German food. It's a really neat place to go, and it's excellent riding in that area.
We're going to take another short break, get back to our conversation here with Lisa Hall and Eric Sowers. And again, we've got a lot of callers that want to join us to talk about motorcycles, which is fantastic.
People like it.
Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Richie, thanks for the call. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY FX, presenting the new original series, Fargo, starring Billy Bob Thornton, Martin Freeman, and Allison Tolman. Fargo premieres tonight at 10, only on FX. More at fxnetworks.com.
On the next Fresh Air, journalist Carlotta Gall, who covered Afghanistan for over a decade for the New York Times. In her new book, The Wrong Enemy, she writes that Pakistan, not Afghanistan, has been the true enemy in the region. We'll also talk about the risks she's taken and journalists she's worked with who have been injured or killed. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
More than just a race, the 2014 Boston Marathon.
I am not prepared to trade off the liberties that distinguish us as a country for an absolute permanent lockdown.
Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick on what's at stake for democracy as we all learn the lessons of the bombing a year ago. Next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
today at noon on WHYY.
Supporting WHYY, Rynathan College, quality liberal arts in a spiritual setting since 1877. Details at 267-728-4218 or brynathan.edu.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe talking about riding motorcycles with Eric Sowers and Lisa Hall. I want to play a clip from a 1966 counterculture film. It's called The Wild Angels, played by Peter Fonda. He's the leader of a Hell's Angel chapter, and he's interrupting a funeral for a fellow biker, confronting a preacher played by Frank Maxwell. Let's listen.
Yeah, we don't want nobody telling us what to do. We don't want nobody pushing us around.
I apologize. But tell me, just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, when, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
A very dated film from 1966. That was for you, Eric.
Yeah, he's right on. I would be there in a second. It's a great movie. And you know, there's nothing in there I didn't agree with. I want to have a good time. I want to party, have fun, be free.
And we were looking at it yesterday, and what's so great is that Peter Fonda has just, you know, his hair is all just so nicely put together.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't have helmet hair.
No, he doesn't have helmet. Yeah, is that an issue for you, since you're a helmet wearer?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's just going to look flat. You know, too bad.
You'll live with it.
No, live with it. That's right. There's not. I can't find anything to come out with a beautiful hair. Yeah.
Let me get Bruce from Percocet to join our conversation. And Bruce, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, fun show today, Marty.
Thanks
for doing it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Guys, I got into. I rode a motorcycle exactly twice when I was 16 years old, and got in exactly two motorcycle accidents.
Ouch.
And spent the next 30 years terrified. And I didn't like being in my mid-40s and scared of anything, so I used Pennsylvania's excellent motorcycle safety course to decide whether I could take this thing on, and now I've been riding for 7 years. And it's really an extraordinary practice, unfortunately, that I think I undergo. And what I mean by that is I don't particularly care about traffic laws. What I care about are the laws of physics, because that's what's going to keep me alive.
Okay? Well, wait, Bruce, I have to stop you there. When you say you don't care about traffic laws, does that mean you don't stop at a red light? You don't stop at a stop sign?
No, I'm being facetious,
okay.
Marty. I not only do traffic laws are a very much beneath what I care about. The laws that I obey exceed those of traffic laws. Okay, so I never just go through a green light, like ever. You know, I never even pass a cross intersection where a car is waiting for me to pass without slowing down and assuming that that person doesn't see me. And in fact, I just recently had the experience myself where I was taking a turn and there was a motorcyclist there. I was in my vehicle, my car, and there was a motorcyclist there and I didn't see them. And I came to a stop and I thought I held up a whole explanation. I rolled down my window and said, "My God, I'm a biker. I just did what everybody does. I didn't see you." And it's just, you know.
I hear you. I think I understand what you're talking about, and I appreciate you calling into Radio Times. Do you get what he's saying?
He's saying the laws of physics are
right.
Much more, that's what he worries about more than traffic.
Yes.
Like that left turner that's going to turn right in front of you. So when you're approaching an intersection, you have to be aware that those things can happen. And especially when there's a car in your lane making a left.
Yes.
He's blocking that car across from you, seeing you. So you got to approach that intersection cautiously because you know that you're not going to be seen.
What do you think, Eric?
Sure. You know, I don't stress too much about this, that, or the other. I just get out there and ride, and it becomes second nature. And probably in my head, all these things are going on. But a lot of time I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my own space. I'm rolling. And I honestly don't stress too much about it, but I get it. It's scary out there.
Yeah, it certainly can be. And it's interesting, you all started pretty young, but it's not unusual to see 40, even 50-year-olds getting into motorcycles.
I know. I belong to a Facebook group of women riders, and a lot of them are in their 50s. I just started riding, and I'm always giving them positive messages. You can do it. Way to go. Great job. Yeah. And it's really amazing how many women now are getting into motorcycling.
And you agree with Bruce when he said a really good motorcycle course is
That's if you're going to ride a motorcycle, take the motorcycle safety course. They teach you all about safety. It's such a valuable tool. I recommend that to anyone starting out.
I've done it, yeah. And for the guys out there, if your wife says no, take her there for a date. It works like a charm.
Oh, really?
She'll be riding next year.
She'll be, well, yeah, what's the story? Because your wife rides
so,
as well.
Yeah, we did. So what's the deal? My wife there? And I did the course. My wife's very physically talented. You know, she's a great skier and, you know, like yoga master or whatever. And so when we went to do it, she was doing, you know, I have bad habits now. You know, like slap shifting and all kinds of things like that. And so she did a little better than me in the course. Because, of course, I have bad habits. But
she's a good rider.
But we did it together. She's an excellent rider. Mm-hmm. We'll ride side by side. When we get going on a sunny day, it can't really be a better place. Just her and I riding side by side, rolling somewhere. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's why I'm riding with my husband.
It's just the two of you?
Just the two of us. We make a great team. And when we're out there riding, since we started at the same time, we pretty much have the same skill level. So we actually look like a precision drill team
out
there.
How nice is that?
We have almost matching bikes. So it's a pretty neat visual.
I can see it. we have an email from Gogol. Do you fix your own bikes? Is there a place where you can go and learn how to fix bikes? Recommended places to ride. Do you fix your own bike? I asked.
Sure, I am. Yeah, a lot of my brothers are great mechanics. If not, they're interested, and so we'll go to a buddy's garage and pull it apart. And I currently have a conversion from a belt to a chain project I got to get done, and we'll drag it up to somebody's house and who has the tools, and we'll swap it out.
Are you always fixing and sort of adding and
Once I got involved with so many guys, somebody's always got something that needs fixed.
It never ends.
It never ends.
The accessorizing never ends.
And have you accessorized?
Oh my God, yes. You know, I have to get like a second and a third and a fourth job to put everything on my bike that I want. But
and what do you want?
I need a luggage system for my bike. I would love to have a CB on my bike. When I had my Goldwing, we all had Goldwings, and we were able to communicate with each other. And what a safety feature that is for the whole group to know what everyone's doing at once. So that would be fantastic. But that's expensive.
Yeah. Are there things that you fantasize about for your bike?
I do fantasize about a lot of things.
Just for your bike?
Oh, just for the bike. Okay, yeah. I just fantasize about bikes all the time. I'm probably at capacity with the amount of bikes I have, but you could
keep going.
Yep. Yeah, I start dragging pieces home, and maybe another one will form eventually.
Oh, there you go. Let me get Rick from Richboro to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You're on radio. You are on the
good
air.
Morning,
go ahead.
Hi there. Great. Really enjoying your show.
I'm so glad.
Your guest.
Great.
I had a couple issues. I've got over 37 years and 150,000 miles riding here.
You go.
So I've got a little bit of experience. I addressed one of your guests' comments here. They said loud pipes save lives. I would like to counter that and say loud pipes risk rights.
Loud pipes what?
Risk rights.
Risk rights.
I agree.
Oh, risk rights. Yeah. I got you. Because people don't like it.
One of the things we talked about wearing all the gear all the time. We have actually a term for that. It's called ATGATT, ATGATT. All the gear, all the time. Helmet, boots, gloves, an armored suit. We traveled the country. I crossed the desert at 120 degrees in my suit.
Whoa.
And it's cooler than road rash.
Yes, it is.
Well, I think your comments are aimed at you, Eric
sure.
Sowers. Go ahead.
You know, man, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree until the law says otherwise. it'll be what it is.
Right. I mean, if they change the law in Pennsylvania, that you
yeah,
have to
and I don't even know if I could adhere to that at that point. You know, they're just gonna have to deal. It's part of what I do. It's part of the whole gig. You know,
we all accept the level of risk that comes with,
of course,
whichever way we want to ride.
Yeah.
You know, I don't wear the full leather gear. I won't. I'll just wear jeans.
Right.
You know, and I'm willing to accept that risk there.
Yeah, and I know it. It might get somebody worked up, but you know, like I said, you know, we all have to give and take a little bit.
Well, and there is a kind of ethos about bikes, which is, you know, to some degree, you get to set some of the rules,
sure.
Right? I mean, isn't that sort of part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, bikes come with baffled pipes, and so I've swapped mine out. They're swapped out on both sets.
I think I heard you on Saturday. I just have to tell you that.
You probably did. When I started up here in Philadelphia, you probably heard me up in Bucks County somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I get it out at, you know, it's also a performance issue. In my particular case, on one of my bikes, it's I had to modify the pipes to fit the adjustments I made to the engine. So, you know. It is what it is.
It is, yeah.
My neighbors, you know, I'm good to my neighbors, and yeah, I realize that occasionally at midnight or 2 a.m.
They don't appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, the last thing they want to hear is me coming home, but they have to work it out.
Well, Rick, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me get Walker from South Philadelphia to join us. Hi, Walker. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm enjoying listening to the conversation. I grew up riding dirt bikes and just started riding street bikes in the last 3 years, and I'm a novice compared to your last caller, but I've probably done about 15,000 miles in the last 3 years. And I would say in that time, I've noticed a real change in the safety of highway driving, specifically due to texting and electronic devices. And I really like doing long rides, you know, on highways. And I feel less safe doing that now. Just because in small towns or small windy roads, people pay attention to the road, where on long stretches of straight highway, I just notice maybe about 30% or probably even more, maybe half the people driving are looking down at their devices regularly. And I just think when we think about safety as a greater public issue for everybody on the road, it's become more of an issue. I'm curious if your guests have also seen that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, go ahead,
most
Lisa.
Definitely, yes. That's why we try to stay off the highways. We try to make all the roads back roads. You know, well, the back roads are the greatest roads around. But, you know, part of our ride has to be on the highway. And you'll pass the cars, and the people will be looking down, and my husband will point to them, and I'll yell in their window and say, hang up the phone, you stop texting. But it's amazing the amount of people that are distracted.
Walker, thanks for calling into Radio Times. And I've also seen Eric sometimes riding up 95,
yeah.
Motorcyclists on really racing bikes, just like weaving in and out of traffic, going, you know, 80, 90, maybe 100 miles an hour, yeah. And it's... That's so dangerous.
Yeah. No, we ride in formation. We ride the way we think's right. And
so not 80 or 90?
Well, 80 or 90 maybe. But, you know, we're in formation. We're
going
to ride together. Yeah, we're not
going in where you see
going in and out and that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, occasionally if it's 76 a little jammed up, I got to get to work, you know. And maybe I'll scoot up the side a little bit to get where I'm going. It's the bikes will get hot. And you'll get irritated, and eventually someone will run you over.
Yeah.
So you just accept that. But I wanted to comment on the texting thing.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I'll educate. I'll tap on your window and you know, give you an earful and let you know that it's not acceptable.
Yes, and let me get looks like Brian very quickly to join us. Brian from Trenton to join us on Radio Times. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, folks. Great show. Great
guests.
I ride. I'm one of three boys. We all ride. I have an outlaw biker brother, and I have an executive brother rides, and I'm a physician, and I ride. All kinds of people ride.
True.
Good. Everyone's on their own spiritual journey. One thing I have to say I don't like to see are on people's jackets the 88 symbol or the SS bolts or the death head skull reflecting, you know, Nazism.
Okay.
You know, it bothers me. I don't like to see it. Our boys died over there, and I still remember that, and I remember why they fought for us. So I find that disrespectful, and I think it should be out. I don't care if you're 1%er, and that's the way you want to live. And again, it's everyone's journey, but I find that very disrespectful.
What
are your thoughts on it?
Sure, no, I appreciate the call. Very, very quickly, Eric, if you don't mind.
I ain't going to comment on other people wearing it. They can do whatever they want, but it won't happen with us.
Yeah, and how about for you, Lisa?
Oh, no, it doesn't go with my pink outfit, my pink motif.
Well, look, it's been a lot of fun, and I appreciate you joining us today in Radio Times and getting two really different experiences of riding motorcycles.
Yeah, very interesting.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Lisa Hall, motorcycle enthusiast, co-founder of Tri-State Touring Riders. She co-founded her group with her husband, Bill, and she's also an analyst at the post office. And our other guest, Eric Sowers, is vice president of the local Death Grip chapter of the International Iron Motorcycle Club. And their mission is My Brothers Before Me. And he's a web designer at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. And we do want to close things out with Born to Wild.
Get your motor running, head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way, yeah, gotta go make it happen, take the world in a loving embrace, fire all of your guns and bombs and explode into space, I like smoking lightning. Racing with the wind and the feeling that I'm under. Yeah, I gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of your guns and butts and explode into space. Like a true nature's child, we were born, born to be wild. We can climb so high. I never wanna die.
Of course, that's Born to be Wild. And our special thanks in this hour to Rob Brining, our motorcycle riding facilities manager at WHYY.